One is last Sunday, I got to my office and I opened my phone. And guess who I got a text from? One of my old friends. She's about 80-something years old now, watching third service. Ah, wow. She told me that I talked about John 7, that some days before, she's been thinking about the prayer of Jesus, John 7, and then she just, I was scared, man. I thought, you guys are already the younger one, listen to me, 80, she should be around 85, 86, 87 now. My mother is now in the bathroom. All our kids are grown up, they're in their 50s, so my friends over the years, when I was small boy, I used to sleep in her house. You know, she says she's watching, so I don't know whoever is watching, you're welcome to join us for Youth and Single Service. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Online just makes everything wonderful. Okay. All right, beautiful. That's a nice way to get somebody. You can tell your friend to watch. If they can't come, can they watch, and they can listen to it, enjoy it. All right. Let's talk about what we were talking about last week. Foundation. Remember foundation? Remember, I don't know if you are not here last Sunday. Can I see your hands? You are not here last Sunday. Can I see your hands very well? Where were you? Okay, no problem. Remember my fence that didn't have a good foundation and it collapsed because the foundation was the first thing that was messed up. Everything else will be messed up. Then we read that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And then we look at foundation is the first thing you do when you are building a house. So as a for Christianity, for you coming to church, what's the first thing? 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, you know the reason why I summarize and repeat again now? Because not all of us are in church. Okay, let's look at verse 1. Give us an NLT. Okay, you there? Let's look at the first thing, the foundation you do. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, NLT. Can we have it quickly, please? All right. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcome it then, and you will stand firm in it. Let's keep on reading. Next verse. Can I hear your voice, everybody? It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. So, if you come to church and you call yourself a Christian, there are certain things you have to believe. It's called the good news. And that good news is this. Not because I like RFC. That's not the first foundation. Look at next verse. Everybody, let's sit together again. Let's go. Go with me. I passed on to you what was most important. And what's that? And what had also been passed on to me. And what's that? Christ died for our what? Our sins. Just, scripture said, you wonder how death, somebody's death can be the very first thing we talk about. Let's keep reading. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. Just, scripture said. Okay, now, pastor, what do I need to do to become a child of God? What makes me a Christian? Is it that I come to church? Or I pray? Or I fast? No. That is part of the building. The foundation is not what you do. It's what somebody has done. Do you get that? For instance, you can never use cement until somebody finished making cement. That cement that has been made cannot be used by you. Am I making some sense? So when we come to the foundation of Christianity, it's not what we do. We don't do bad, we do good. That is not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is to first of all embrace that somebody died for our sins. Somebody took care of our bad record. He was buried, he really died. And he rose again from the dead on the third day. So for Christians, the foundation is Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection. If I don't have that, my faith is actually not true. Look at the verse before. Give us verse 2. Look at verse 2. Give us verse 2. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message, now everybody look up here. And I was wondering, why death? Why death? Why is death the foundation? And I was shocked to learn this. Everybody listen to this. The very existence of your life is feeding. You eat, am I right? If you don't eat, you are out of here. But what you eat must die first. Wow. I hope you know that goat laid down his life for you. That goat you cooked yesterday, that thing laid down his life for you. Death is giving you life. Our very foundation, we go to the farm, we cut down vegetables, we literally slaughter them in a way, and they become food for us. So, in the same way, spiritually, Jesus said, except you eat my flesh, remember, and drink my blood, you have no life in you. This is what he said, in essence. Until you embrace my death, my burial, my resurrection, how many of you will put a live chicken on the plate? No. It must die first, then we can eat it. So Jesus died first, and if you don't embrace the death, we can never live. Does that make some sense? So that's why when you read your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they call them the gospel, the stories of Jesus. You notice all of them, they slow down toward the end and talk about the death of Jesus. So because we should be very informed. Let's go to chapter 3, Galatians, verse 1. Take a look at this verse. Paul was really fighting them. Oh, foolish Galatians. Take a look. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has cast an evil spell on you? You know, today, you see on YouTube, you will never get to heaven if you do Bob Marley. Have you seen before? Women who don't cover their head, they are not going to go to heaven. But you know what? Those guys don't have the foundation. The foundation that Christ died for me, that's what will make me enter heaven. Let me make you laugh. I had this story years ago. It's a story. This guy got to heaven. He got to the gate. Then he met Peter. And Peter said, I want to know what you have done. You have to make 100%. So the guy said, I did this. He said, I will give marks to what you have done. And when you get 100, you enter heaven. The guy said, I give to the poor 2%. I didn't beat my classmate 3%. I was very nice to my colleagues at work 3%. The guy said, at this rate, I can't make heaven. It will take the grace of God. Peter said, come in then by the grace of God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Come in then by the grace of God. At that rate of measuring our performances, we will never make it. So that grace is that Jesus, look at that verse again. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. So what I'm doing in this meeting is to give you a solid foundation for your time to come for eternity. I'm painting the picture before you. Look, I had other interesting things to do. But usually, foundation is not interesting. But it holds the house. I never worry about this house collapsing. I was there. It cost us a lot of money to lay the foundation. All this one you see in the surface, the real thing is inside. Iron rods, cement, concrete. Hallelujah. So, we stop where Jesus was taken, remember? Let's go there. John chapter 19. Let's start again. Join us. Go and watch last week. You will see. We're looking at the picture of Jesus when he was captured and taken down to Pontius Pilate. We are in that picture right now. We can't revise so much. So, he was taken. Judas sold him. They took him. Remember, he said, who are you looking for? They fell back. Peter took a dagger, cut somebody's hair. Jesus said, no, don't cut anyone now. I need to give my life to ransom all of you. Let's go now. John chapter 19. That's where we stopped last Sunday. Am I correct? Am I correct? By the way, they offer the governor. Let's start from chapter 18. You know, verse 39. Okay, 38 first. Please be fast, whoever is there. Help us. Okay. What is truth? Pilate asked Jesus. Then he went out again. After Pilate started talking with Jesus in the governor's court, he said, what is truth? And he left. He didn't even hear the answer. Then he went out again to the people and told them, he's not guilty of any crime. Wow. Jesus was not guilty of any crime. He was crucified. That just shows us that this world is full of injustice. Even God himself suffered injustice. What a joy. You are not alone when you are oppressed. He was oppressed. He's not guilty of any crime. Next verse. Then he said this to them. But you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release this king of the Jews? Look at the chorus. Next verse. But they shouted back, no, not this man. We want Barabbas. Barabbas was like the head of Boko Haram. Look at what happened next. So, then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead tip wing. I wish I had gotten the video for you. I'd like you to watch The Passion of Christ. When you have time, go to YouTube and just press Passion and Suffering of Christ. Mel Gibson did the video or the film, and you can see the beating and the scourging of Jesus. Let's keep reading. Soldiers wove a crown of thorns. Now wait, here was a man who had walked on the water, who had done miracles, who had touched lives, and here he was being battered and beaten. And you know, soldiers can be very mean. They took crown because they said he was king of the Jews, crown of thorns. You know why I like this place? Remember God told Adam, because you have seen thorns and thistles, the curse will come upon the land. And Jesus carried our thorns, carried our curse. Can you clap your hands for him? Our curse was upon him, the thorns. And they put a purple robe on him. They dressed him like a king. Let's go on. Hail, King of the Jews, they mocked and they slapped him across the face. I mean, you know, sometimes I cringe when I read that. Savior, Lord of glory, God, the Son, slapped him, kicked him around. Let's go on. Pilate went outside again, said to the people, I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him nothing guilty. After we beat him and beat him, he didn't say anything. If it were you, if it were me, beat me, beat me, beat me, I would say, hey, wow, Olo amu you. Olo adajo. It's not fair. He just kept quiet. So they were inciting him to talk, but he never did. So the man said, after testing him, not guilty, but God had a plan. Let's keep on reading. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Boy. Now beaten all over, black and blue. Hardly standing on his feet. Thank God, he didn't go to school. He would have died before they finished. He was a carpenter, so he had more stamina. Huh? Pilate said, look, here is the man. Next verse. When they saw him, the leading priests, devils moving them, and temple guards began shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify. Now, in their own culture, they don't crucify, they stone people to death. But God had already planned that he would be crucified for us. So they couldn't kill him themselves. They said the Romans would do that because they don't want to crucify people. Take him yourself and crucify him. Pilate said, I find him not guilty. Pilate was trying to escape, kind of a thing. If you read Matthew or Mark or Luke, the wife of Pilate sent him a note, SMS. Hey, this guy, overnight I suffered because of him. He's not guilty. Let him go. Let's keep reading. The Jewish leaders replied, by our law, he ought to die because... Now, this is where the trouble. He called himself what? Something had happened. Next verse. When Pilate had this, He was more frightened than ever. Son of God. I thought it was one of us. Son of God. We're going to do that. Look at next verse. And then he took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, oh boy, where are you from? Jesus gave no answer. The guy is scared to his shoes, man. You are crucifying God, Son of God. Let's keep reading. Why don't you talk to me? Pilate demanded. Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you? Who is he talking to? You're talking to Son of God. Huh? Is he thinking that's the political power? Look at next verse. I love Jesus in this midst of God's trouble. But Jesus said, you will have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. You know, every time I come to read things like this in the Bible, which I read regularly, I just feel like as if I was there. We have no more reason to say, God, where are you when I'm going through trouble? God, where are you when my mom was thrown out by my dad? God, where are you? He's saying, right there, I'm there. Yeah. Let's keep reading. At times you'll be. Then Pilate tried to release him. But the Jewish leader shouted, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar. That just flooded everything. You know. They said, your guy is the king. And this guy said, he's the king of the Jews. And he, look up here, everybody. So called political expediency. What did I say? Political. What's that? In politics, if giving you this TV will cost me a future, I will not give you the TV. Are you hearing me? Though I know the TV is good for you, but it cost me election. So what do? I will hold back the TV till I win the election and I give it to you after. Let's keep reading. When they said this, Pilate quickly brought Jesus out to them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat, the platform that is called the stone pavement in Hebrew Gabbata. Let's go on reading. And then it was now about noon on the day. That's about 12 afternoon. And Pilate said to the people, look, here is your king. Let's keep reading. Be with me. This is the most important thing in our Christian story. Away with him. They yelled. Away with him. Crucify him. What? Crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar. You see, they are playing the game, political power. Man, cruise. Now, what will Pilate do? Let's keep on reading. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away. Remember, this is our faith. Christ died for our sins. Now just imagine, we are all saying these people acting ugly, but the real ugliness is our sin that drove him to the cross. All these Pilate people, they are all ambassadors of sin, playing the game on the stage of life. I want us to start getting much more serious about this now. Can you just pay attention more now? We have come to the end. The die is cast. Jesus was given. Let's go on. Next verse. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew called Golgotha or Calvary. There, by the way, you don't know the cross. Everybody look up here. See that cross over there? And internally, when we start using this place, I ask for one guy to make this for me. It's not plastic. It's not metal. It's metalloplastic a little bit. Cost a lot of money. And when he was making this cross, it was bent a little. I don't know if you can see that. He said to me, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's all right. The cross is never straight. It was crooked, jammed. I asked him, don't smoothen the body. I want it rough like this. So, when I walk into this hall, anytime, the reason why we are here is somebody paid dearly for our lives. Now let me tell you how they crucified people. See, the Roman Empire invented crucifixion. You know what they do? They do it to show Romans' might that you must never dare to ever think of rising against the Roman Empire. And they crucify you on the street where everybody can see you. Now, the way they crucify you is not like just taking one small nail that, what's it called? It's two by two, 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 three. These are nails as big as this. Huh? So, when they put him on that thing, today if you see Jesus, you will see this round thing. Those who have seen Jesus now, they see a hole through his hands. You can see light through that hand. If you look from underneath, you see the jagged. And then his feet too. If you see Jesus, you can put your hands in the hole. That's what that guy said. What's his name? Thomas. He said, if I put my hands, see, you can put your hands through it. That thing tore through the nerves and the blood vessels and the stuff and broken bones everywhere. And they got him there. And after doing all that, they will raise that thing up. Now, what you are hanging by is that broken pieces of your hand. The pain is tremendous. And you don't die quickly, you die a slow death. Then two others were crucified with him. These were thieves. One on either side, Jesus between them. So everybody passed by and said, don't ever rise again and say you are a king. There's only one king in this land, Caesar. Let's keep on reading. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross. Usually they will write your offense on the cross. That what? Jesus of Nazareth. What do you call him? The king of the Jews. Let's go on. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So that many people could read this criminal that was trying to rise up and have his own kingdom. Let's go on. Then the leading priests objected, said to Pilate, change it from the king of the Jews to, he said, I'm king of the Jews. See, they were still feeling guilty. These guys are mean, man. They just don't give any chance. Next verse. And Pilate replied, what I've written sounds like God. What God has written won't change it. And God made him to write it. Let's go on quickly. Our time is running. When the soldier had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in. This was a rich robe. I don't know who made it for Jesus. Very rich robe. Those guys said, don't tear it, man. Don't tear this one. So, but amazingly, can I surprise you? In Psalm 22, it was prophesied they would divide his clothes and they would give his robe to somebody. So all these things taking place about Jesus had been prophesied thousands of years before. His beating was prophesied. Why? Because it was the climax of history where God is going to take care of all our issues. Let's keep on reading. And so they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scriptures in Psalm that says, they divided my garment among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. Very accurate. That's something about the Bible that's not common to Quran or any other holy book. Things come to pass. It's fulfilled. Let's keep on reading. Standing there, this is the moment that moved me most. Are you hearing me? This moment moved me the most. Something happened to me years ago that changed my thinking about this. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Can you look up everybody over here? How many of you like to see your mom and your dad at your graduation? Or when you become the MD of that place? How many of you like to see? How many of you like to see your mom when you fail your exam? When they are announcing the failure? You don't want to do that. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh boy. Jesus, famous, powerful, and embarrassed and ashamed, and hung on the cross almost naked, and the mother was there. What? Hallelujah. Number one, tells me a lot about moms. Moms will bear your pain. But they told her when she was born, when he was born, that sorrow will pierce her heart. Jesus was the only one who knew he would die by suffering. But see something. Next verse. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her mother, to his mother, "Dear woman, you don't get the gist. Come, two of you, James and Sola. Listen to this. Jesus was hanging on the cross. He had 12 disciples. Are you hearing me? Imagine, this is the mother. Jesus. This is James here, the friend of Jesus. Among the 12, he had three that are closer. Then he had one that was closest. Now, that one, remember last week we read that Peter tried to come near. That disciple that Jesus loved was following them all the car. I don't know if you remember that story. Now, that one still went to the cross because he could get his way with the Jews. And when Jesus was bleeding away, every bone in pain and like that, when he opened his eyes, he never cursed. He never said, "Kinemon, go through. My mother is looking at me." He was thinking about the mother's welfare. You know, think about that. The firstborn of the mother. And he said, "Mom, that's your son. Son, that's your mom." One of the beauty of Christianity is that Christianity makes you such a brotherhood that you can take care of my welfare. Let me say it in a simpler way. Do you have any friend that you can give your mom to? Anybody here? Can I ask you a question? Do you have any friend that you can give your mom to? Can I see your hands up? Do you have any friend you can give your mom to? You can say, "Mom, stay with my friend. I'm going abroad for 10 years. Do you have anybody like that? Thank you. Anybody else? Tell that person, find somebody like that in your life. Find somebody like that in your life. You know, life cannot be lived alone. Are you here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? You know what struck me most in this matter is that Jesus, in his pain, had my trouble buckled enough and he could stop and take care of your mom. Hallelujah. That's why I can't imagine today you are going out with a girl and you break her heart and never moves you at all. I can't imagine today you promise to marry someone and you disappear and go and marry somebody else. Jesus didn't have to do that, but Jesus stopped. You know, I was very hard before. I've gotten softer over the years reading things like this. Jesus. You know, last week, a pastor died in town, or 2 weeks ago. I've been around them for some time. Jesus knew that where he was going, it was better. He's going to his father's house. But his mom will be bereft and bereaved. You know, years ago, I lost somebody who was very close to me, married. I lost him. And I was crying, really crying. I didn't want to come to church. And you know what God said to me? "Stop being selfish." I said, "What?" He said, "Stop being selfish." He said, "That person that died has gone to a good place. What will happen to the family left behind? That's the issue." Anybody here, you have lost your dad. Can I see your answer? You've lost your dad. Rest of you never knew the agony. Let's even say they're born again. The dad is born again. He's gone to heaven to be with Christ far better. But the bereavement you go through here, the painful loss, particularly of a close relative. A lot of these guys you see on Facebook that are hating God today, they have prayed for their loved one not to die, they die, and they hate God. But Jesus didn't mind that. He looked up and said, "Mom, now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. If you are here, you've lost your dad, you've lost your mom. Please take care of your mom or your dad that is alive. Give them joy in their heart. Make them happy. Can I be personal? Can I be personal? My family, my father's family, we are so many there. So many. My wife's family, her father died when she was 9 years old. She will tell me that, "Dear, don't hurt me because I don't have another guy in my life. I'm the guy." She has only one sister. There are two of them. Two sisters, herself and her sister, and a mother. So when she started going out with me, I was the only male. And so that when I do something, she feels so bad that I'm the only male. And, you know, I didn't want to get involved too much with them. And one day, my sister died. And my wife's mom was knocked out. I mean, you had only two. Before she had them, she was almost in her 50s or 60s. My wife would be a granddaughter of my mother-in-law. "Pastor, why are you telling me all these stories?" Such is life. See, when that sister died, I just knew that I must bring my mom to our house. I must increase her joy. I just can't say, "Look at, who cares?" Christianity is love at its foundation. Even in death, we are still doing good. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. So I told my wife, "Let her move in." Actually, that house we had that time, we planned to be room for guest ministers to come stay with us when they come to preach. So we fashioned out the room and put Mama there. When we were building our house, we built a room for Mama. When she died, we still call it Mama's room. Mama had a beautiful life with us. She lived for so many years. She was in her 90s when she died. If we had walked away when she had her pain, she would not live that long. See, usually joy gives people longer life. Pain and sorrow break the heart of people. They won't live long. Tell somebody beside you, "May you be a source of joy and life to those who are around you." There's nobody as beautiful when there's tragedy to get up and start giving joy. There's nobody like that. There's nobody as precious as when things happen to people and somebody can step in and say, "Okay, it's gone. What do we do right now?" Thank you, guys. Thank you. Next verse. We need to round up and stop. And he said to his disciples, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Can I surprise you? That disciple lived the longest among all apostles. Lived to his 90s. They couldn't kill him. They threw him inside frying pan. He came out tender. Are you hearing me? I think he must have had a bigger house. One for his own mom, one for Jesus' mother, one for the dad. Can you imagine? Tell your neighbor, you need to really be rich so you can be rich in good works. If you sleep in one room, where will you put Jesus' mother? Boy, it's just good to be here today. I felt that same thing last week, talking like this. Let's go on. We need to round up now, get out of here. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, "I'm thirsty. I love my Lord." Even in his pain, still remember the Bible, that he must keep on fulfilling scriptures. Let's go on. Next verse. And a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on an hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. What happened next? When Jesus tasted it, he said, "It's finished! It's finished! I got it finished up. I got it closed up." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit.
Can we clap our hands? Stand up on your feet. Let's clap for Jesus. Come on. Let's clap. Let's clap. Let's give him a standing ovation. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Do it better. 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 You know what? He never said, I am finished. He said, it is finished. The first part of life is finished. Now, second part is coming. And that second part involves you. Please have your seat. It is finished. Let's read. Maybe we can read some more before we leave here. If you can. I wish I can finish today. Next verse. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leader didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath. A very special Sabbath, because it was Passover. So they asked Pilate to hasten their death, but under their legs be broken, then their bodies will be taken down. Now, can you look up everybody here? Because it's a special day in the Jewish festival, they don't want anybody hanging on death because it's cursed. So if you don't die, because you don't die quickly, they break your legs so that will kill you. Let's keep on reading. And so the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. Next verse. One of the soldiers, however, want to be sure, pierced Jesus' side with a spear. Immediately, blood and water flowed out. So here was a coagulation of blood and water, and then it started flowing out. Because actually your blood is some stuff plus water, plenty water. They call that one plasma. Is that what they call it? Yeah, thank you. So he really died. They put it on his chest, by his heart. They put spear there. So he didn't die fake. It's not fake. Let's go on quickly. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also can believe. Let's go on quickly. These things happen in fulfillment. The scripture that says, not one of his bone. That's Psalm 34. Whoa. Go on. And they will look on the one they pierced. Next one. Aha. I love this. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a great disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leader, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. Let's keep on reading quickly. And when with him came, remember Nicodemus, who came in the night? They are night disciples. They don't come. There's some of you are like that. When you come to church, you are a Christian. When you finish, Borotimbo. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Next verse. And following Jesus' burial custom, following Jewish burial, they wrapped Jesus' body with spices and long sheets. Now, look up here. I want to show you this one. How did they bury Jesus? It's not like we bury people now. This way they bury Jewish custom. When a man dies, that is a little bit means well to do, they will take this ointment, plenty of it, they will cut strips of cloth, linen clothes. They cut it small, small, and they will soak it in this thing, this chemical. That chemical is like mummification. It will just hold you. Even if you are not dead, nothing will kill you when it calcifies. So they start wrapping every part of Jesus' body. They wrap fingers. Are you hearing me? Are you here? Are you here? So this way they bury Jesus. So they wrap his finger, wrap his thumb, wrap all the fingers, wrap. That thing will wrap, and then it will start getting hardened and then become solid. Remember Lazarus who died? When he said, come out, they had to lose him, or that thing will kill him again. That will break it open. So Jesus was like that. Long sheet, they started wrapping it. And so Jesus just was buried. He was wrapped to death. Let's go on. And the place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb never used before. Now, their tomb is not like you dig into the ground like this. Their own tomb is in a cave. So you can enter and see the body laid out in different places wrapped up. Let's go on. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, since the tomb was closed up, and they laid Jesus there. Is that the last verse? Thank you. Should we do 10 minutes more? Should we? Let's vote. Should we? All right. Now, he died. Closed up. Put over there. Next chapter. This way I want to go. Early on Sunday morning, so this is about 3 days now, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Now, usually they put a big, big stone that nobody can roll away except the guys that are plenty. So she came in the morning to just see him do that final rite on third day. They climb it up and close it. Next verse. So she ran and found Simon Peter, the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So what happened? Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They started running. Next verse. And they were both running, but the other disciples, younger, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. When he got to the tomb, look at it. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. So this one, John, ran first, got to the place, stopped. And guess what he saw? He saw the linen cloth, the one that they wrap. He stopped there. Didn't look quite close. Next verse. And then Peter came. Next verse. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. Look at next verse. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Next verse. And disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Everybody look up here. What did he see? What did that guy see? This is what he saw. Now, if they had broken that thing, we would have said they stole away Jesus' body. Guess what he saw? He saw the cocoon lying there, and there's nobody inside it. You're going to have to believe, except you're a crook. So, it was not that something broken. No, it was not broken. The same, just imagine, it's just like they fix something around you, and then you are out, and the thing's still there. And amazing, something amazing. They use something like this to cover Jesus' face in his dead body, and they put it like this on his face. You know what Jesus did? Okay, let's imagine it's like this. When he rose from the dead, if it were me, that handkerchief, you'll find it on the road. I'm risen. I'll scream everywhere. You know what he did? All the glory. After he rose from the dead, he took the handkerchief. He wrapped it. Put it beside. Whatever he does it well. Wow. For until then, they still hadn't understood that said Jesus must rise from the dead. They're just thinking, what happened to this guy? But when they saw that, whoa, this cannot be make-believe. I mean, this is the cocoon. We can see the thing. We can see where his finger was wrapped, but it's no longer there. Next verse. And then they went home. Let's keep on reading. Mary was standing outside the tomb. Women don't give up. So Peter, John, looked at the thing, shocked. Let's go and eat. Boys just left. But this girl just stayed here. And she cried and she wept. Now look, can you look up here? Now just imagine this, the entrance to the cave. They all walked out. She stood over there and she was weeping. She was just weeping. Because Jesus was her all in all. And where is he now? And as she was weeping, she did something. She stooped and looked inside. As she was looking inside, look at what happened here. She looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head, the other at the foot of the place where the brother just had been lying. Now, that angel had been there all along. The two of them had been there all along. Those boys just bumped in, look around. There are even angels here now, but you don't know. They can see you when you're looking at your Facebook. You know, but that woman just stopped there, knowing that there's something more to this place. And then when she looked, what happened next? Look, next verse. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angel asked her, because they have taken away my Lord. She replied, I don't know where they are putting. Let's go on. She was looking inside like this into the hole and saw the two angels, and they said, where have they taken him? She just turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. So, wonder of all wonders. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he could look any way he want to look. Before that time, it's the same way, but he could look like any way he want to look. This person was quite close, can't even recognize him anymore. Let's go on. What happened next? Quickly, our time is running. Dear woman, why are you crying? Hey girl, why are you crying? Jesus asked her, who are you looking for? She thought it was the gardener. My God. I just rose from the dead. Fire and lightning will be coming from my head. I mean, think about this gentle, loving Savior. Clap your hands for Jesus one more time. Come on. I mean, you're gentle. I mean, I just got all power and heaven and earth. I say, hey, man. What? Okay, lean on this. She said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll go get him. Next verse. His form may change, but his voice is still there. He just still say, Mary, there is a way the Lord calls each one of us over here, if you are his own. Pastor, I never heard that verse before. How many of you can tell me this? When you want to do something bad, something just kind of tell you. Anybody? If you don't lift up your hands, you're a crook. You know, you'll do something, and you just say, don't do that now. Or you say, that friend, I'll go deal with him. You say, don't do that. That's the voice. Or how many of you have been there too when you do something good and you feel so good? You feel like God said to you, you're a good boy. Yeah. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? You never felt that one? Do more good. You feel it. He said, she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. What did happen next? I'll stop there. I'll stop in the next few minutes so we can do that next week. Don't cling to me. Jesus said to him, for I have not yet done what? I didn't hear your voice. I knew what? Oh, let's hold it there. That means when he died, where did he go? He died 2 days or 3 days before. And he said, hey, so when he appeared in that grave, he had not gone to heaven yet. So where has he been? Now, I got a news for you. He went to hell. You hear me? He descended to hell. When he died, physically speaking, his blood was shed, but that is not the final price. He had to go and fight and take the key from Satan, who had been our Lord for centuries and millennia. So he descended. Pastor, I can't imagine Christ going to hell. If he didn't go to hell, you'll go there. There's somebody beside you. He went to hell for me. He went to hell for me. I don't have to go to hell. Come on. So he descended into hell. Bible said he even preached in hell to those who messed up in the time of Noah. So he paid all the price, every evil spirit ganged up on him on the cross and took him to hell. And they made him pay for everybody's sin. When he finished paying, the Father raised him from the dead. And on his way to heaven, he branched to see Mary. He said, don't touch me yet. Don't hold on to me. But go find my what? And tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Everybody look up here. Can you look up everybody? I'm closing. I want to stop over here today. You know, before Jesus died, he called his guys disciples. Am I right? Then, when he was eating the last food, he said, you are now my friends. But when he died and rose, he said, you are now my brothers. Wow. That means there is a promotion. By Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, we became part of the family of God. We are no longer friend of God outside looking in. We are his family. Look at it. He said, I'm ascending to my Father and to my God and your God. That means that we are on the same level with Jesus now. What? We are now family members. Praise God. I said, praise God. So glad to know that I'm a brother of Jesus. I'm a sister of Jesus. Look at that person next to you. Ask him, are you a child of God? You are a brother of Jesus. You are a sister of Jesus. Now tell the person, be careful with me. My brother is Jesus. You know what I just see? I just saw this. Every family here has problems. One thing or the other, an issue. But this family is perfect. And that's where we belong permanently. Hallelujah. What will happen after he's risen from the dead? We'll find out later. But at least we have seen he died, he rose, and is alive again. Is that all right? I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So we have seen him dying, buried, raised from the dead. You got the picture? I tell yourself, that's my foundation. Say louder, that's my foundation. Because he died, I'm alive. And because he was buried, now today I'm alive. And because he rose again from the dead, I have eternal life. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. As I round up, don't think I did this teaching because I want to teach it or I like to teach it. But a good teacher does not just only tell you what is sweet, it tells you what is good. So this is the real thing about our faith. So when anybody's talking about something, forget about all that troubles about, and this prophet, this apostle said that, remember, Jesus is our master and he died for us. He loved us long enough to die for us. Am I right? So nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing can cut you from the love of God. If God could slay his own son, many of you over here, if you remember, I used to say this, I'm going to say it over here. If you have two cars, you have the latest Benz Jeep. Hello? Latest what? Benz Jeep. And you have Alabama. You know Alabama? Volkswagen. How many of you know Volkswagen? Not the one you see now, the old Volkswagen that they used for taxi in Abukutabaya before you were born. Taxi is Volkswagen. They open the door, they have one small seat, Akbuti, to sit on inside the car. I was way back, late 80s. Now, you have two cars, you have latest Benz Jeep and this old wagon. Can I ask you a question? Will you mind selling that Beetle to repair the Benz Jeep? Is that normal? Is it normal to sell the Benz Jeep to repair the old Beetle? Answer me. If you say yes, you didn't hear me. Will you sell the latest Benz Jeep to repair this Datsun 120Y of Volkswagen? You know, that's foolish. That's what God did. He took his only son, most beloved, his latest Benz, and for ragged, useless us, he offered. Now, if you sell that Benz Jeep to repair the Beetle, if it has mouth, will wake up every day and sing, Bag-bo-bo-go. Bag-bo-bo-go. If God could offer his son for me, I must be really valuable. So when they ask you next time, how much do you worth? Don't think 120 billion. I'm worth the blood of Jesus. Can you close your eyes? Can you tell God, thank you for valuing my life. Thank you for valuing my life. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for taking through death. And I'm alive today because the greatest mercy you have shown me is that I'm alive today in Christ Jesus. Thank you. And my foundation is secure. It's not yet going to die for me. It's died for me. It's given its life for me so I can enter into the family of God. Give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Questions? And let's eat and get out of here. Praise God. It's been interesting. You want to ask any questions about Jesus, death, burial, life, future, past, academic, whatever, let's be free. Something's bugging your mind, please feel free to ask. Then, can we pray over our stuff? Okay. Yeah, let's give our offering. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bring our little seed to you. Thank you for making the harvest of it. You said when we walk and invest and sow, we will expand. So we sow to expand more in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do that. All right. Okay. Let's have questions. Can I get my phone if you can play something? Baladi, do we have the Bluetooth ready? while we're eating, we play something. Let's play Mali music. How many of you have Mali music? Oh, you have Mali music. Play one of his old, the first album. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, no problem. Okay, questions, be free. Please be free. Questions about Jesus, about life, about future, about marriage, about relationships. Please feel free. Anything current in your mind, anything YouTube that's confusing, whatever is happening, please feel free to ask. All right. I told you that this our Q&A is getting out of fashion, so we find something else to do. People are no longer having any questions for us. All right. I'm waiting. Jesus, dying, life, facing issues, anyone want to ask questions, relationships, Jeremiah, okay, it's there. Anybody else want to ask? Somebody at the back, you have a question too. Thank you. Let's start from the back there. At the back here. Can I see your answer for question? Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. Sola, it's over there. All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, so it has been in my mind for quite some time now. There's this popular Bible chapter.
Yeah.
For the women, that's a Proverbs 31. I don't know if there's any
for man.
Yes, for the
wow,
guy.
That's a good question. I have
thank
it.
You.
I give, right. Oh, you're not married. I give those who are married, husbands. Psalm 112. You will like it. That's a good question. What's let's go to 31st Proverbs first. Describe the woman. Let's go down there. Verse 10, quickly. 31:10 Proverbs, talking about virtuous woman. Give us an NLT. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. Next verse. And her husband can trust in her. Jump to verse 17. Quickly, verse 17. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. Ladies, go read this chapter in the Bible and start fixing your life around it. She said she's going to buy land. So you should be an investor. Are you girls? Be an investor. Huh? That means when that boy come and say, I'd like to marry you, tell him, wait, what's your asset? Say, I have 2 lands in housing, worth 45 million. I have another one at Sukuri. My grandfather gave it to me. Girls, let's keep reading. She's what energetic. Next verse. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamps burn late into the night. What's the next verse? See what? Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. Go on. She extends a helping hand to the poor and open her arms to the needy. This is a lady. So ladies, read that chapter in the Bible. Now, for guys, let's go to NKJV, Psalm 112. I like for the guys. This is for the guys, Psalm 112. NKJV, give us quickly. Praise the Lord. Answer now. Blessed is the man. Yeah, this is the guy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord. So, when you look at a guy, who does that guy fear? He fears the Lord. Who delights what? I like this chapter. Before I was in school, medical school, when I saw this chapter, I thought it was put there overnight. James, believe me. I said, this is good. Is it my Bible before? Look at next verse. I like this one. His descendants will be mighty on earth. Give us an NLT. Take a look at NLT of this verse. They are children of this kind of guys. Will be what? Successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly men will be blessed. Go back to NKJV. Are you following me? So number one, is a man that fears the Lord, is blessed in all his dealing. Next verse. I like next verse. Wealth and riches. Jeremiah, that's for guys. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So I told myself years ago, man, I'm going to have some money. For guys, let's keep reading. Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious, nice guy, full of compassion and righteous. Let's go on. And you know, a good man deals graciously and lends money. So as those days I saw in my future, I'll be lending money in my future. I'm going to be a bank institution. Pastor, you have that kind of amount of money. I'm still pushing. You know what I mean? He will guide his affairs with discretion. I learned this, you know, as when you go to medical school, all you learn is medicine. You don't have to run your life. Doctors are the lousiest managers. So when I read this verse, I started learning about management, how to manage things well. I didn't rely on just medical alone. I started learning how to manage things. And today, I love to manage things. I love to run things. Next verse, quickly. And he said something else. Surely will not be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. When you have a guy who's unshakable, you are blessed as a woman. Hallelujah. Next verse, quickly. Let's read through it. He will not be afraid of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. What happened to him next? Let's see from NLT now, from NLT. His heart will not be afraid of evil tidings. NLT, give us NLT. They don't fear bad news. They completely trust the Lord to care for them. Next verse. And they are confident and fearless and can face their enemies triumphantly. That's guys, man. Next verse. And they share freely and give how? To those in need. Their goodness will be remembered forever. And these guys will have what? Influence and honor. That's the type of kind of guys we are raising here in Jesus' name. Next verse. Quickly, our time is gone. The wicked will see it and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away. Their hopes thwarted. So no bad things can happen to us because we have the power of God as guys. Get that? So go read on that. Feed on it. It will help you tremendously. Jeremiah, what's your question? Okay. By the way, let's read Proverbs next Sunday. Reading Bible, right? Read Proverbs NLT next Sunday for our reading. And then Sunday following, we'll read the guys in NKJV. Right? Great. So let's read that. Great. Okay, next one.
Yeah. Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon, sir. So I wanted to, when Jesus died, he went to hell to preach to the people of Noah's time. I wanted to know why, because over the years, there are people that died with the hope. People died with the hope that a savior was coming. So they died without hope and they were raised without hope. So why did Jesus have to preach to those people? Is it because there was no hope that time or why?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for the question. Everybody listen to this. Before Jesus came, when anybody died, they don't go to heaven. Because the price have not been paid for their nature to be changed and be taken to heaven. So when Abraham died, he didn't go to heaven. Eh? When Isaac died, he didn't go to heaven. Pastor, where did they go? I tell you. You see, when the story of rich man and Lazarus, remember rich man and Lazarus? Bible said, when the rich man died, he was in hell. And he lifted his eyes and saw afar off. So, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. So, that Abraham's bosom was a comfortable place beside hell, where God was packing all the righteous till the debt of their sin will be paid through Jesus. Are you hearing me, somebody here? John said, no man ascended to heaven, but he that came down from there. So here was that place packed. So they were there. And Abraham said, nobody can cross from here to there and here to there. Remember when Samuel died and they called him, that witch called him, he came out of the ground. He came from heaven. So they were in there. Now, when Jesus came, that one we didn't read it. I wish I read the story. When he came and he paid the price that day, when he died on the cross, when he screamed, "It is finished!" The Bible said there was darkness for 3 hours. And then there was thunder and lightning. There was earthquake. It's there in the Bible. I think it's in Luke or Matthew. And when there was earthquake, the Bible said the temple clothes that they used to prepare and separate Holy of Holies tore from the top down like that. So that Holy of Holies now available to all. And the Bible said graves were open of all those who have died. I can't have time to show you. And that graves were open. What happened? When Jesus rose, they rose along with him. In fact, they said that those guys went to the cities to go and show themselves. So can you imagine? David walk to your house and say, good morning. I'm Mr. David. Which David? The one that killed Goliath. You'll pass out. They had their own rapture before our rapture. You know, they have been living under the old. It paid their price. So they had their rapture. Their graves were open. They came out. And when Jesus went to heaven, they all went together in ascension. If you read that Acts chapter 1, Bible says, they went up, Christ went up in a cloud. So Jesus took all these things, all these people. That's why Bible said in 24th Psalm, be ye lifted up, open yourself gates, remember? And you everlasting doors be open. Who is coming in? The King of Glory. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ezekiel, Solomon included, with all his foolish end. And they marched in with Jesus into heaven. So that's why they are in heaven now. But before then, they were under. That's the reason what happened. So, you could not do that until the price is paid. They were waiting for us. Give us Hebrews 11, the last two verses. Can you quickly? Let's close. Any other question? Yeah, thank you. Great, you're coming. All these people earn a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. That's new life. Look at next verse. For God had something better in mind for us so that they will not reach perfection without us. So when Jesus came, paid price for all of us, Christ now packed them and said, let's go. And he took captivity captive. And he gave gift unto men. Praise God. Claire, thank you. Next question. I thought I finished. I want to go home.
My question is, how many children did Mary give birth to? Is it only Jesus and John?
Thank you. Let's talk about that. Somebody said Jesus' mother's womb was Mary, was holy. So no child came through it again. Mark 6. Quickly, let's read it. Verse 1. You have your answer now. Then he went out from there and came to his own country. That's Jesus. Disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Can you follow now? Next verse. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? So he got four brothers. And are not his sisters here with us? So if he says sisters, that means at least two. So we have four brothers and two sisters. And you know the bad things? These guys didn't believe in Jesus until after he died, he rose again, and they repented, and that James became James. That James became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem later. And he wrote the book of James, the brother of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. We through? Thank you. Let's have our food. Father, we thank you for this refreshment. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Okay. We have cake for our birthday. How many of you are born in the month of May? Can I see your hands very well? Great, please stand up. Let's clap for them as they stand up. Let's sing for them. Happy birthday to. Sing for them now.
To you, happy birthday.
How old are you now? Girls, don't tell their age. Please come forward. Let's rejoice with them now. Wow, May, plenty. Come this way. I want to pray. for them, stretch forth your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for these young men and young women. Thank you for how you have helped them to this moment. Father, we are doing this not just to mark the bad day, but to mark your goodness in their life. We are asking that you will promote them inside and out in the name of Jesus. I'm asking that you plant their feet firmly in the way you want them to go. I'm asking that you promote them in wisdom and understanding. I'm asking that their lives be blessed and be a blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you for being with them all these years. Thank you because you will still be with them for a long time to come. And you will use them to be a blessing to our world in Jesus' name. Lord, their struggles, their insufficiency, their pains, I'm asking you that you step in and comfort them and move them from there to a place of fulfillment in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Come around the cake. Let's come. Let's come. Keep singing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Shala. Happy birthday.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Praise God. So I want to wish you happy birthday. Is there anyone your birthday is today, yesterday, tomorrow? Your birthday is today. Wow, congratulations. Put your hands on the knife. Then the rest of us, let's put our hands together with hers. As church, we'll spell Jesus and they cut the cake. So let's spell together J. E-S-U-S. Jesus. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Stay back for
Thank
a piece
you
of
so
the cake.
Much, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you so much.
Sit down, choir. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Let's, while they are cutting their cake, let's play something that promise. Okay, good. Let's do. Are we ready? I'm already on here.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory.